Thank you. Thank you for that welcome. I appreciate it. I like the orange. Hey, I want to welcome you here to First Baptist Scottsdale. I want to say thanks for joining us on the last full day of summer. Tomorrow begins fall, so it will be 100 degrees rather than 110. All right, so that's a good thing. I want to say a couple things, and we're going to get real serious real quick. You will see that there are five different things you need to know in your bulletin. I'm not going to take the time right now to talk about those things, except one, and it's this, is that we met with the small group leaders yesterday to do some training, and those of you that have signed up for small groups, you will be getting a phone call here within the next week to 10 days because we're launching Life Group, small group ministry here very soon. And we're excited about that. If you're interested in that, fill out the information sheet, turn it into Welcome Central. This church community experienced a significant loss this past week with Pastor Bob Brower passing away. It rocked many of our lives. It rocked our lives in such a way that we didn't, at least for me, I'll just speak personally. It stunned me. And when upon finding the word about his passing and realized that I would be preaching this Sunday, I immediately knew what I was going to wear. There are no other Sundays except Easter where I will dress up like I'm dressed up right now. But Bob Brower was one of the sharpest dressed individuals I ever got to hang out with. But more importantly, the man loved Jesus, and the man loved people coming to know Jesus Christ. I'm wearing this colored shirt because his favorite team was the San Francisco 49ers. There's significant irony that's going on at this very moment. The 49ers are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. You will never hear these words come out of my mouth again when the 49ers play the Steelers. But today, I say, go Niners. You have the information in your bulletin about a memorial service, or as Bob called them, graduation, on October 17th at 2 p.m. We encourage you to be here for that. Those of you that did not get the privilege, the honor of being in his ministry, I want to tell you this. It was a privilege for me to serve alongside him for so many years. And the last few days, my mind has been blown away with all the different memories of Bob. In a few moments, we're going to begin to sing some songs. It's real easy to critique the singing. It's real easy to critique the preaching. It's real easy to critique all these things. And what ends up happening is we miss out. We miss out on worship. And right now, at this very moment, Bob Brower is worshiping Jesus Christ, completely restored physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He's doing this right now. We have the privilege to worship now, to sing some songs, to hear the word preached. But here's what's really cool. And the family and I talked about this the other day. Bob is doing that now with no limitations whatsoever. May we rejoice in that. I encourage every single one of us to continue to pray for Bob's family through this time. Continue to lift them up. Continue to pray that God will continue to heal them and comfort them through this time. He meant an awful lot to me. He meant a whole lot more to his family. He's a great man. And so, we get to sing out here very soon. But Diane, Michelle, Alicia, Grace, and Hope, we're praying for you guys, and we'll continue to do that. Father, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would do the work that only you can do. We thank you for the ministry that Bob Brower had in so many people's lives. And I thank you that right now he's worshiping you. And he's hearing those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Lord, as we worship you now with feeble voices and feeble gifts and feeble words, we pray that we would say more than a few good words for Jesus Christ, and that he would be the one that we fix our attention on, and that great things would happen because we're lifting you up. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Do the work that you need to do, and may we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Would you stand and sing with us this morning?
Shine.
We're now going to take this time to continue our worship by greeting those around us. We're going to begin here in just a minute. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are cold, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Promise good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are cold, I've been set free. Chains are cold, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. Soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbid to shine. But God, who called me here below, will fall forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It's a great song. Our chains are gone, we've been set free. And that's a fact for those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. He set us free. And a number of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to watch a Little League baseball game. And while I was there, I was enjoying the game. And one great thing about going to Little League baseball games is you get to see these players play the game not for a contract, even though some of their parents might be thinking that they're playing for a contract eventually because they're their retirement plan. But these guys were playing the game because they love the game. I was there with Don and with Jim Leivensparger, and we're watching this game, and we look over to our left, and there's this big storm cloud coming in. And it was impressive. And we knew that as that cloud continued to advance, that the wind was going to kick up, and the wind started to pick up a little bit. And I don't know what inning it was. It might have been the second inning or the third inning. But anyway, there were, I don't know how many people were there. I'm going to ballpark it at 50. It was pretty good use of the word ballpark. So I'm going to ballpark it at 50. And about the third inning, all of a sudden I heard buzzes, beeps, chirps, all types of electronic noises. And in a matter of moments, and pretty much at the same moment, everybody, those 50 folks, were either reaching into their purses, digging into their pocket to find their phones. It all happened almost in unison. The game's going on out here, and everybody stopped at an instant to reach into their pocket, look at their phone. It was almost, it was really cool to see. The umpires even stopped to look at their phones. Going, you've got a game going on here. Pay attention to the game. And then it was a dust storm warning, and when you're with Jim Livensparger, he's a weatherman, so he said, yeah, it'll be here in 10 minutes. You know, I mean, he's great like that. But then this hit me. Everybody stopped to take a look at their weather alert on their phone. Many of us here in this room have a Bible app on our phone. And I began to think about this. If my Bible app went off, would I adjust my life like I just adjusted my life for that weather warning? When the weather app went off, all of a sudden people are starting to hunker down and get ready for what's about to come. But yet we have these Bible apps on our phone, and what struck me was, if the Bible app were to go off, would I begin to get ready for what I need to be about? Would I begin to get ready and adjust my life? But so often the weather app makes us move, makes us do these different things. And our Bible app, if it could go off and alert us to something, would we even notice? The Bible is more than an app on your phone. The Bible is the living Word of God. It's more than any other book that you'll ever read. There's more to it than just words on paper. But I ask you this morning, if your Bible app were to go off on your phone, would you even notice? We continue our series on continue our series on back to basics, and today we talk about what is the Bible. It's my goal, and I'm going to tell you this straight up. It's my goal that when we leave this building today, that we are inspired to spend time in God's Word and allow His Word to speak to each and every one of us, to adjust the course of our lives as only the Holy Spirit can do as we read and spend time in the Bible. I want you to know that. That's my desire today. Is that when we leave this place, we leave committed to being in God's Word. Because when we're in God's Word, when we're encountering Him through His Word, we get to know who He is and what He desires to do in our lives and through our lives. And if a weather app can get us to adjust course for a little while, I believe this to be true, that the Bible can adjust our entire lives, not just for a moment, but for eternity. That's the way He operates. What does the Bible mean to you? When was the last time you allowed His Word to change and maneuver and do the work that God desires to do in your life? Father, we pray now as we come into this time in your word, we pray that you would speak to each one of us. That your Holy Spirit would open our eyes, our ears, our minds, our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us. We come here this morning with a variety of things going on in our lives, a variety of thoughts going through our heads. And we pray right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would center us on you and center us on what it is that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 or go to the app on your phone. Or you can look along in the bulletin. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, looking, starting at verse 14, we read these words. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Great words. And as we talk about what is the Bible, I thought it would be appropriate at least to give us a launching off point to talk about what is involved with the Bible. For some of you, what you're about to see on the screen is old news, and you're going to say, well, I already knew that. But I got to tell you, I believe it's important that we get reminded of things that perhaps we don't consider much anymore. So the Bible basics are these. The Bible is consisted of 66 books. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. The breakdown, it breaks down into five sections. The Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, moves into history. There's a section on poetry and writings, the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and Lamentations. Great books. All of them are great, frankly. Then you go into major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, the biggies. Jeremiah, by the way, for you Bible trivia people, is the longest book in the Bible. And then you go into minor prophets, people like Obadiah. 21 verses. You can read it in 45 seconds, but it's there. 39 books in the Old Testament. We go to the New Testament. You have 27 books broken down into three sections. Number one is this, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we also have Acts. That makes up one section. The second section consists of letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote most of the New Testament. And then we have what I call non-Paul letters. Pretty much covers everything else. Hebrews, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, Jude, Revelation, breaks into those places, these 66 books in this book comprise the Bible. You might be here this morning wondering, well, why those 66? Weren't there other letters and books that were out being circulated or whatever? Why these 66? Well, we have what is called the canon. And when I say the word canon, I'm not talking about something that you put missiles in to fire at somebody else. What the canon is that it is the rule of law that was used to determine if a book measured up to a standard. So these 66 books that made the canon were put through a rigorous test. And here are the elements of this particular test. The first is this, and by the way, before I even get into what's in the canon, these words, God's word, is inspired. That's what Paul's saying to Timothy. It's God-breathed, meaning that these words were inspired. These words were inspired through the people through whom they wrote these words. And so here is what was required to make the canon. The first was this, was that it was written by a recognized prophet or apostle. if there wasn't, if they didn't recognize who this person was, or they had no idea who he was, probably isn't going to make the cut. But some of you might know this, that Mark was written by many people to believe by Peter. Mark was not an apostle. Mark was, he received his account from the apostle Peter. So how does that make it and others don't? Here's why. Because of the second rule, which is this, written by those associated with the prophet or the apostle. So those two things, those two items were very important for the canon. And then we move to the third, which is this, the truthfulness of this scripture. Is it true? Has it been shown to be true? In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 to 22, God says, if these words from the prophet come true, then believe it, and he is a prophet. If they don't come true, disregard it and move on. So was this true? Are they faithful to previously accepted writings? Meaning, is there agreement between this passage and that passage? Is there agreement? Is there a theme that's common between them? The next one is this. Is it confirmed by Christ? Jesus Christ refers to a variety of Old Testament books. And by the way, the entire New Testament refers to every Old Testament book but two. Was the church using these letters, these books? Were they being circulated among the first century church? If it made it through that rigorous test, it made the canon. By 397 AD, we had the 66 books that we have right now. And some of you may be saying, well, how do we know it's true? That was 2,000 years ago. What you're about to see on the screen says an awful lot. We have more than 5,300 known Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, plus 10,000 Latin Vulgate texts, and at least 9,300 other early versions to give us more than 24,000 manuscript copies of portions of the New Testament. And get this next thing. No other ancient document comes close. The Iliad by Homer is in second place with only 643 manuscripts that still survive. The Bible has been tested more than any other document ever and continues to be proven to be true. That's great. Thanks, John, for giving us this nice little seminary lesson. What are you going to do now? In Timothy's day, there was a variety of false teachings going on, and Timothy perhaps is concerned about the future of his ministry and where it's going to go. And Paul writes these letters to him and says, Timothy, these are some things that you need to do. And we pick up the reading again in verse 14. It says this, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible is more than just another book. It's tempting to go down this path and consider it, well, this is some great literature, this is some great this, this is some great that, but the reality is this, is that the Bible is more than just another book. God reveals himself through the Bible. We understand what it means to follow after him through the Bible. We don't talk about this much, from an American Baptist perspective, but the Bible is our supreme authority to whom we refer when we have issues of conduct or life or who's God and what is he about. It's our supreme authority. And so Paul's telling Timothy, don't get caught up in all this false doctrine. Don't get caught up in all this false teaching. Turn to the Word. Turn to what you know to be true. About 5 years ago, I was going through some stuff. It wasn't that I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. It was a season of questions. It was a season of what's going on in my life. How can I continue on in ministry? So I picked up the phone and I made a phone call. A person that I respected deeply. A person that meant a lot to me. He picked up the phone and I said, hey, can we meet? Can we get together? And they agreed. And we met at Paradise Bakery on Indian School. I got there first, which is sort of a shock in light of who I was meeting. And then they showed up. They gave me this strong handshake. He ordered a cup of coffee. I ordered a chai tea latte with a shot of vanilla because I'm sophisticated like that. We proceeded to sit down. This individual looked at me and began to talk. And it was like we had just seen each other the day prior. And Pastor Bob looked at me and smiled. And he said, boss, I got to tell you something. This is the year for the San Francisco 49ers. They look really good. I love their quarterback. I love their coach, Jim Harbaugh. And you could just, as he's sitting there talking to me, if you had any doubt that the man didn't like the 49ers, you were smoking something that you ought not be smoking. But he was passionate about it, and he leaned in, and he just said, this is the year that we're going to go into the playoffs. This is the year that we're going to go and win another Super Bowl. This is going to be a great year. That's what I want you to know. And that's the way all of our conversations started when we were serving together for 10-plus years. And I looked at Bob, and I said, Bob, I need to tell you something. The Pittsburgh Steelers look really good this year. This is going to be a great year for them. They're going to run into the playoffs. They're going to run through the playoffs. They're going to win another Super Bowl. That's all I can tell you, Bob. And we kept going back and forth and back and forth like this for probably 20 minutes. It was like we had not stopped serving together. And Bob then zinged me with this comment about how much of a better coach Jim Harbaugh was than Mike Tomlin. And it stung. And then I looked at Bob and I said, Bob, I'm going to ask you one question. He said, what is that? He said, how many Super Bowls have the 49ers won? And Bob puffs up his chest. He says, they've won 5. And I looked back at Bob and I said, Bob, when they've won as many Super Bowls as the Steelers have, we can continue this conversation. And Bob said, you got me. And then Bob paused. And with those piercing blue eyes, looked across the table from me. He said, I know this, John. You didn't call me to get together to talk about football. So what's going on? I looked at Bob and I said, Bob, I'm overwhelmed. I got people asking me questions that I don't know the answer to. I'm trying to help this church through this time. I don't know what to do. I've got concerns about hanging out with my family because I know that I'm not hanging out with them often enough. I've got all these different concerns and questions, and I have people coming at me with this issue or that issue, and we have elders that are struggling through what we're going through right now, and they're asking me questions. I don't know what to do. What's going on? What do I need to do? What is it that... And then I stopped and I looked at him and I said, Bob, how did you keep going for all those years? And he looked at me. And he said these words. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word, John. Stay in the Word. No matter what happens at First Baptist Church of Scottsdale or wherever the Lord leads you in the years ahead, stay in the Word. I had people come at me with questions also, John. I had the church's issues at the forefront of my mind many times. I struggled with spending more time with my family. I did this, I did that. Things were pulling at me all the time, John. But here's how I stayed going in the ministry for all these years, John. I stayed in the Word. To Bob, and I said, you don't got anything else? You don't have like some secret formula? And Bob laughed that hearty laugh. And he said, John, you know the Word. You know Jesus Christ. You stay in the Word. When I received word that Bob passed away on Thursday, my mind immediately went to that conversation that we had at Paradise Bakery. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And in light of what we're going through as a community of faith right now, I would say this also, that God's word is useful for healing. God's word is useful for walking us through our times of pain. God's word is useful for all of life. Stay in the Word. It's more than a breath of fresh air. It's the breath of God. God breathed His Word. God breathed His Word into these individuals who penned His Word on pieces of parchment. And God breathed His Word because God has one primary purpose for the Bible, and it's this, is that He would reveal who He is and communicate with humanity. He is eternal. He is powerful. He is creative. He is all-knowing. He's the one who spoke creation into being, who knows the very numbers of the hairs on your head. He knows the innermost thoughts of your mind. He knows your doubts. He knows your fears. He knows the uncertainties. He knows the hopes. He knows the dreams. He knows the goals. He knows the desires. He knows your brokenness. He knows your sinfulness. He knows your questions. He knows your insecurities. He knows knows that anger that wells up within all of us at different times in our lives. He knows the addiction battles that we struggle with, the victories that you've experienced. He knows the business dealings that have finally worked out. He knows the business dealings that have fallen through. He knows the issues that you have with a coworker. He knows the issues you have of not finding a job. He knows the fact that if you believe that you can't make it one more day, he's going to give you another day. He's the one who wants to continue and talk to you and enjoy you. And this is what happens when we stay in the Word. We experience the reality that God knows us completely and that God is with us and he will not let us go. That's why we stay in the Word. Yet, we'd rather set our fantasy football lineup. We'd rather take time to gossip about our friends. We'd rather to take time to obsess about the next purchase that we're about to make. We'd rather take time to try and figure out how we're going to make it on our own. We would rather take the time to tell the Lord that we've got this, that we can handle our pain, we can handle our addiction, we can handle our brokenness on our own, and that he wouldn't understand. We would rather listen to some self-help guru give us the top 10 things that we need to do in life to make it through another day. We would rather do all these things than stay in the Word. God wants to talk with each and every one of us every moment of every day. And yet we have a litany of excuses that say, I'm not interested right now. I don't understand what I'm reading. Well, I didn't understand how to walk when I first tried. And when I kept falling down, I didn't look at my parents and say, I'm out. I'm just going to crawl. Well, you don't get it, John. I don't remember what I read. I don't remember what I ate 3 days ago, but I know I ate. Look at me. I don't know how to get the most out of my time in the Bible. I don't understand all the intricacies of it. Well, I don't know how the cooks at my three favorite restaurants, Oregano's, Side Door, and Zips, make the meals that I eat there, but yet I still eat them. I'm hungry, by the way. But we stay in the Word. You may have questions, you might have doubts, you might not understand all the different intricacies of it, but I will tell you this, that when you stay in the Word, God goes to work and God does things and God stirs within all of us this desire to know him better. And as we get to know him better, we see life differently. We stay in the Word. You have these passages every week on your bulletin, and we encourage you to spend time in the Word. If you have questions, please don't be afraid to ask, but stay in the Word. Your excuses are lame because God, the great God, the only wise God, says, I want you to be with me, and I want to talk with you. We stay in the Word. And by staying in the Word, we continue to learn who he is and how he wants to work in our lives. So I ask you this morning, will you stay in the Word? I ask you this morning, will you put aside your excuses and stay in the Word? Father, we pray now as we consider what has just been heard and what we've been singing about. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us. We pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to what's going on in our lives, and that we would move with you. Motivate us to stay in the Word and hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a few moments, you're going to hear a great song from two very talented people. I encourage you to reflect on the truth of these words that they're going to sing. And I also encourage you, as we then move into a time of everybody singing together, that we would be fixed on the one who's breathed his word into existence, who's breathed his word in such a way that it's changed history forever. So please, reflect on what you're about to hear. It's time now to take the offering. Offering that goes to not this church, but goes to the cause of Christ, the one whose blood was shed, the one whose sacrifice made it possible for us to have the life that God promises us in his word. And so we encourage you to give generously. We encourage you to give as an offering to God. Father, we pray now as we take this offering, we pray that you would take these gifts and use them to expand your ministry for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand and continue worship through singing with us?
Free. You Jesus, Savior, forever and after.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys. That was fantastic. Yeah, good. Fantastic. Hey, have a great day. And the way that we know that our God is love is by spending time in His Word. We stay in the Word. May you stay in the Word this week, experiencing all that He has for us, knowing this, that He loves us, He cares about us, He will never let us go. If you have questions, please don't hesitate to ask. We'd be more than happy to talk to you about that. Enjoy your day. Enjoy this God who cares. And go Niners.